Time now for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live. Happy New Year, folks. This is the first edition of PCSN Live here in 2022. As we are all hoping for a better year than last year, but I tell you what, it is turning out rough. We had some flooding at the beginning, and now we've got a storm threat coming our way, a snowstorm threat coming our way tomorrow, and our basketball seasons have got off to a bad start in 22.
Yeah, not good so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about COVID yet, so that's even... So we hope we get better from where we are, but man, it's a very tough start to 2022, coming off of 2021. So we'll start out with those COVID numbers, Ken.
Well, I was hoping I was going to be able to pull up the Kentucky's information here. Let me see if I can't get it, because the state numbers have been astronomical in a sense. We're hitting new daily highs. So actually, let's see, new cases today. That are confirmed, 5,694. However, there's 4,000 that are probable. So potential new cases.
This is new?
This is today's data. So potential new cases, 9,807. Again, confirmed, 5,694.
Well, just real quick. Yesterday, we had a total of 6,900 cases.
Right.
If you could look back at yesterday's numbers and to see what the differences were between the confirmed cases and the probables for yesterday?
Well,
is that hard to do?
It would be, since I'm using my phone and, you know, I have issues, you know, on the internet when we're
here in the studio. I was just kind of curious. I know yesterday set an all-time high for new cases in a day, and the positivity rate set an all-time high yesterday. So what was the positivity rate for today?
Well, the positivity rate today was 22.89%.
So we went up in positivity rate.
By a couple, 2%, yeah. Maybe, something like that. So again, if you look at, again, the confirmed cases, that's 5,694 for today, and yesterday was 69. So, I mean, at that point, we're at least kind of in that range. Again, there's 4,000 that are probables.
Wow.
So again, I'm assuming probably waiting for the results.
And they'll get mixed in with whatever day, I guess, they get confirmed.
Right. And someone probably already knows that they have it. And that's probably why, yeah, you have the symptoms, that kind of thing. But now under the circumstances, you're not necessarily a confirmed case. But still, in Kentucky, again, 9,800 new cases total for the day. And again, that positivity rate, 22.89%.
Yeah, and we're talking now with the highest numbers we've seen since the beginning of the COVID outbreak. We're talking about the highest positivity rate since the COVID outbreak. I guess some good news today. Dr. Fauci came out and was saying that, I guess it was Dr. Fauci, or at least maybe the CDC came out and said this, but so far that the this Omicron variant is less severe than the previous other variants. Now, not to say that it can't kill you, it can't do harm. It's just to say that it is less severe than its predecessors. And the hospitalizations are still up. And I know in Lexington, I know Baptist Health has, I think, halted elective surgeries, and which is where we were again a year ago,
yeah.
We were in really bad shape a year ago, and the numbers weren't as high as they are now. So this is really getting 2022 off to a bad start. This is something that I think you and I kind of talked about on here. This was probably going to happen soon. I thought it would be a little bit later than now. I just, you know, we're coming off a Christmas holiday and a New Year's holiday, and we're starting to see some numbers from those, I'm sure. But with this Omicron variant, it is so easily transmissible. They're saying that it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated, unvaccinated, or what, on catching the variant, it's just less likely to cause severe harm if you are vaccinated and those are up to date.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Okay, so I was able to pull up yesterday. So it was 6,915 new cases. That was 3,982 confirmed, 2,933 probable.
So they totaled those two.
Correct. Numbers. Yeah, so today, again, we're over 9,000.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and yesterday's positivity rate was 2,174. So we've gone up basically 1% in the COVID positivity rate. So again, today's numbers, 9,807.
That is a...
an increase of... You know, almost 3,000.
We are now setting the numbers as far as the exponential growth is now there.
Right.
We are now starting to see some of that, which we really never got to where it was exponential. This is starting to happen right now with Omicron. And they're also, Kentucky is saying that 95% of the cases in Kentucky now are from the Omicron variant. And I'm pretty sure that's the number of cases in the nation as well. Now about 95% of the cases are Omicron. Let's hope that it is less severe than the other two variants. But again, it is not a, when you watch somebody go through it that had the vaccine and they still had some pretty bad symptoms and some side effects, that you kind of have to wonder how bad it would be if you don't. Obviously, we've had a lot of deaths in the nation, a lot of deaths in Kentucky and here in Powell County. I know there's not a good way to do it. When you're talking about education, we want kids back in the classroom. I know here, the state of Kentucky, all the president, everybody wants kids back in the classroom. In Chicago, Illinois, the teachers union said no, and we're not going back in the classroom. We're going to, we would rather do NTI, or rather do, I'm sorry, whether
virtual.
Do virtual. And the school board, I guess the school system just said, no, we're just going to cancel school. So somewhere they're going to have to come to a meeting of the minds on how this is going to work. Teachers are out there and they're at risk, and it's just like in any school system we're seeing now, it's not just teachers, it's teachers, all the personnel. It's not just teachers, it's all the classified workers. It's not just them. And we had a lot of death last year from our staffs around the state of Kentucky. And I do think that staff are at risk. And I think kids are at risk as well. However, it's not been as severe for the kids. Yet the number is, I think, over 25% of the new cases are below 18. I'm not sure that today's number, but that's been the trend so far this year, at least, with the new variant.
Actually, let me look here. So in Kentucky, the number of cases, well, that's actually not what I was looking for there. Well, I thought it had it broke down as far as age distribution, 13%. Well, actually let's go 20% are under the age of 19. So 20% of the 20% of the cases under 19.
So not quite 25%, as I said, but 20%,
still close.
1/5 of all cases. So we're talking 9,000. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 cases. Of those are 19 and under.
Yeah.
And you would have to think several of those are school age numbers. So, some of the schools have started. I know, I think Fayette County, the number yesterday I saw was 11 staff members had tested positive coming in yesterday, and 52 students. And that's a big district, but it's still, it makes you think, how did you know, number one, how did you know that many staff members and students had the virus? Did they call in or did they, what happened? But the way I took it is they came in and they were testing, but I don't think you could do that. There's not that many tests available right now, and I guess there's no way to test, I don't think, but could have been the case. And there's been all the confusion now with the guidelines. I think they tried to restate it today. 5 days with if you're asymptomatic, 5 days is what they're asking. But if you know that you've had it, they're also asking you to, when you go out, have a negative test on your sixth day. And if you do decide to go out and you're still having symptoms, to make sure that you wear your mask anywhere that you go in public. So I'm not sure that they help themselves tremendously with the new stuff out there, but they did add some stuff to it. That's like, okay, if you're still positive, you still didn't stay in for those extra 5 days. Or if you are tested negative, you still need to wear your mask for another 5 days. So I guess they're still saying 10 to be careful, but you can come out of quarantine at 5 if you're not showing any symptoms, but you do need a negative test.
Yeah, and again, the way that it constantly changes, it even goes back to 2 years ago at this point, right? I mean, it's ever evolving, and it's hard to keep up with what to expect and or not expect. Okay, do I 5 days? Oh, wait a minute, someone's asymptomatic. Okay, now where do they stand? Are they okay to even go out? It's very difficult to navigate through the waters, in a sense, to try and figure out where particular people stand. And even within the school district, you know, you might have someone that's quarantined and think that they're due back, and all of a sudden they come back, and it was just like, oh, no, wait, you can't be back until so-and-so day. But wait, it's already been the 5 days. But, yeah, but now they've got new guidelines, and you fell under different provisions
I understand that, like, the school protocol, it's still 10. I don't think they've changed that. I think it's still 10 days for the schools because they haven't changed the CDC guidelines as of yet. And if they do, I'm sure with the test to stay, and most districts have it now, and you and I have talked about it a little bit. You know, you hear administrators talk about it, and then you think about it logically. Doesn't make a lot of sense when you do some critical thinking of it. It just too many ways that you'd be able to spread the disease more with test to stay. Now, I'm not knocking it. Don't shoot the messenger here. But if you look at it from the outside looking in, it looks kind of fishy, if you will.
Kind of, because at that point, okay, you're going to test negative, and maybe you've been exposed to someone, and maybe you could be asymptomatic at that point, and it's like, but yet you don't show any symptoms, now you're okay, but then next thing you know, you turn around, and potentially that particular student now all of a sudden is showing some signs, and it's like,
a couple days back, they're showing the symptoms.
Yeah, and at that point, it's like, uh-oh, okay, now you almost have to start all over again as far as your contact tracing and all of that.
What they're saying now, you're most contagious when you first start showing signs of or symptoms, or just before. Well, if that's the case, I mean, you're not even necessarily sick yet, and that's kind of a scary thing, and it doesn't fit with the way test to stay is meant to work.
Right.
But again, it is a process that can keep the school that keep the kids in school without having to, you know, quarantine. And again, as long as I think we keep the mask mandate going here, at least in Kentucky, and I know people disagree with it. I know Scott County is having a board meeting to me, it's terrible timing, but they're having a board meeting to us where we would not have to wear the face coverings. I just think that it is the wrong time to go that direction right now with the way Omicron is going, the way the numbers are up. It's just, to me, it's the wrong time to head that direction.
Well, let's not forget about the flu and other stomach virus, et cetera, that's out there. And going back prior, there were other districts who decided to do away with the mask within the school districts. And all of a sudden they turned around and was like, oh, bad choice, bad decision. We need to go back because they had so many people, staff, students, et cetera, that all of a sudden became infected and they had to shut things down in a sense and go back to where they were. So I don't think you can prematurely, especially where we are now, I agree that we can't go back and all of a sudden be like, oh, let's not have the mask. I don't care where you are in Kentucky.
Yeah, let's at least stick with the mask mandate right now in the schools. And again, I know all the workers that are out there, and you know, most people are probably used to the mask to some point right now. So let's not cut it off too early. Let's just ride the course out. I don't think we haven't seen, obviously, this is probably the worst of it as far as the numbers we're seeing. If the death rate tracks, which it hasn't been so far, it hasn't been tracking the same. But if it starts to trend up, then we're in a bad point.
Yeah, and even last night, you and I kind of talked, we always observationally, you know, knowing that we discussed this, you know, on Wednesday, that when we're at the games, it's like we kind of look around and be like, okay, who's masking, who's not? Okay, yeah. You look over in this particular section or whatever, you know, okay, you got a couple people that are and that aren't. But in general, we talked about this even last night, there's a majority, probably a good 90 to 95% who are not wearing masks. And at that point, then, you know, we kind of question, okay, well, these numbers are so high. Well, how did that happen? Well, using that as one example, and I get that people are vaccinated, people are tired of it, people are willing to take their chances, if you will, as far as not wearing it, saying, okay, I'm already vaxxed, therefore I'm not going to worry about it. If I ended up getting it, it's not going to be as bad, you know, so therefore I'm willing to take my chances. And that's all fine and good, but collectively we have to do this all. We're all in this together. You know, and I can't be doing something and you're doing something, they're doing something, everybody's doing something different, and we're not all on the same page.
But the bad thing about it is the rule is, if you're in a building, wear your mask. Now, we're not just knocking the folks here at Powell County.
It's everywhere we've been.
Everywhere we've been all year long. Yeah. This has been consistent. The adult fans that come in just do not wear a mask. It's just,
right.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, that's and I get some of that, at least, it seems like people are maybe staying in their pods at least while they're at the games. But with the numbers surging so high, you just wait and see here what expected in all these large crowds. You know, I know we've had some gatherings here in the county in the last couple of weeks where I think some folks maybe have taken some home tests and have not reported. You're only creating a worse problem. If you're doing those things, if you know that if you've tested positive with the home test and you don't want to report because you don't want people to know or whatever, that's backwards. I mean, you should want people to know and to be able to at least go get tested and make sure that they're okay, so they don't go spread it to those who are not vaccinated, who may be elderly or have some situations with their health that will not withstand even if this is lesser. Even this, the Omicron, it's very disheartening to hear that folks, and you know they're educated, that would go out and do this. And to me, I'm waiting to see if there's any kind of legislation ever passed if you put other folks at risk. I mean, and someone dies, you know, we've had laws out there, we've got manslaughter laws out there that fits for. Not saying that's what you're doing. It just, but still, if someone dies because of your lack of cooperation, that's on you.
It's one thing if you choose to be tested and you tested positive, let's say, and you choose not to contact the health department or something, and that's on you, whatever. But at the very least, you should be contacting the people who you've been in contact with. At least try to remember all those people you've been in contact with and try and reach out to them and let them know.
At least
that. Right, at the very least, yeah, at the very least.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way the tracing goes now anyway. It's kind of on you. You report to the health department, they're going to say, okay, you contact the folks you've been in contact with. It's gone a long way, and kudos to the folks at the health department, kudos to folks at CDC and the government entities that are working with this, all the testing sites, the medical personnel that it takes to do this, you know. Thank you guys a ton for what you guys do. It's very appreciated. You know, we do sit and question some things, why this and why that. And I think that's, we're asking questions that other folks are asking, and we're trying to give you information here on PCSN Live. This is a sports show, but we started this because of COVID, and we're continuing to bring you COVID updates. And there for a while, we said, well, it's not existing anymore. Now we're moving on, and now it's back to where it's big time again, because you know this new variant has come in and it's taken over.
Yeah, let me, while we're, you know, just here local in a sense, let's go back a week ago. There were 70 active cases on the 28th. There were 52 new cases and 51 were released, but that still kept the total at 70. So again, that was a week ago. Then on the 29th, there were 22 new cases, 32 cases released from isolation, so that took it to 60 as the active count. On Monday, the case count, 46 new cases, 60 were released from isolation. So we're almost releasing as many as we're getting, in a sense, and that's still again, that count was at 60. And then yesterday, 27 new cases, 9 were released. That kept the active count to 63. And then today, 29 new cases, 13 released from isolation, and that brought the active count to 79. So we've gone up from a week ago. We've maintained that 60 to 70 mark, but the fact that we're actually back up near 80, we've been over 100,
right?
But still, we're trending in that direction.
And right now, we had a lot of people go off in the last few days.
Yeah,
we're probably not going to be kicking a lot of people out for a few more days, so our numbers will likely go back above 100, I would think, this week. And again, tomorrow, if it snows 3 to 6 inches like it's possible here, you may not be out and going places. It might be a good thing to be home for a couple of days and not be out, maybe spreading and get a couple of days of free quarantine here. So, again, hopefully everybody is safe and got everything done. I know we both drove by Kroger, and it is absolutely packed. I came in at about 5:30, and I'm not even sure there was parking spots available.
Right.
And even the fuel pumps were backed up. So at least people trying to, I guess, winterize themselves if they do get stranded. And I'm not sure that's necessarily going to happen. But if we get 6 inches of snow, 7 inches of snow here in Powell County, we kind of know what that's like. We're kind of stuck where we are for a couple of days.
Yeah, especially with the colder temperatures coming as well. Yes, it's not supposed to warm up till like Sunday, I believe.
Saturday, I think, evening or afternoon, Sunday. Yeah, you're talking about a warm-up coming. But if we get the packs of snow like we're supposed to, those numbers are not going to hit those numbers with the snowpack on the ground. So we're probably going to cut those by a few degrees each day. But hopefully, again, if you're here, you've seen this in the past, if we get 6-7 inches of snow, it's going to be on the ground come Monday or Tuesday next week when the next snowfall is predicted.
Correct,
so,
yeah.
Just be careful out there, folks, if you're driving out tomorrow and Friday, and as long as the snow is around. So we're 20 minutes in. We've just talked about COVID and the weather, so we'll take a break here on BCSN. I'll be back in a moment to talk about basketball.
The Big Finish sales event is underway at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. All new 2021 Ram trucks are priced to move with 0% financing and the best rebates of the year. Don't put off that new vehicle purchase. Check with the good guys at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton before you buy anything. Call them 606-663-2856. Always a better deal. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, exit 22 off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a plan to make your life simpler. Forward pay. No contract, no credit check, no problem. Plans start at just $19.99 a month and include unlimited talk and text. Add 3 gigabytes of data for only $29.99 a month. 6 gigabytes of data, $39.99. Or take it to the max with unlimited data plus. Only $89.99, which has 50 gigabytes of high-speed data. All the features without the long-term commitment. It's forward pay. Because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless. Unlimited data plus. Slows to 1 megabyte per second. Past 50 gigabytes of usage.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave following along with Ken Simon. And we're going to now switch gears to boys basketball.
Let's go back to last week where they were in a tournament over in Bath County as the Pirates faced off against Elliott County. They ended up losing that game 78-55. Followed that up with a victory over Jenkins 86-51. And then lost a close one against Russell 69-68. And then last night, Bath County was here for a home game for the Pirates. The Pirates ended up losing that one 81-64. 17-point loss. It was much worse than the final score. At one point, the Pirates were down by as many as 31 points. They shot really well in that game, 46%, I believe. Did a nice job from three. It was in the 30s. Free throw line, 40%. I think they were 4 out of 10 for 40% on the night. That number definitely has to improve. But then on the defensive side, Bath County shot 56%. They were in the 30s as far as their 3 points, and they were at 80% on their free throws. So the defense of effort wasn't necessarily there. Too many turnovers, even though they shot well, were in it in the very beginning in the first quarter, trailed by one with about a minute and 30 left, and all of a sudden Bath went on a run, and from there they led by seven at the end of the first quarter, and from there they basically just ran away with it.
Well, the run at the beginning of the third quarter was absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Was it 10-12-1 there at the beginning or two? At the
They went on like
10-0.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
It was just turnover after turnovers, and they turned up the intensity on the defensive end for Bath County, and Powell County just did not respond. Coach Martin texted me this morning, and he was correct that we had way too many turnovers, and I'd ask him about going to zone, and we did play zone last night at the beginning, and I thought we did an okay job. We actually were fairly close, and then we got down by 14 once Williams and Barnes went out with foul trouble. That lead went from, I think, from like 4 or 5 to 14. And, we switched defenses to man, which I understand if you're down, you got to do something different. You got to try some different things. And Bath County is a pretty good ball club. They're 13-1 going in, 14-1 now. Got some nice players on that team. Now, if you go back and look at some things, I know Alan told me, too, that the consistency is just not there right now for the Pirates. They had a pretty good game against Russell, as you can tell the score indicated there. And Bath County did beat Russell, but it was only by 7, I believe. And, Russell's a decent team. And I talked to some folks that said there were a couple calls that were just bad calls on three-point shots that the game could have gone the other way had the calls been reversed and been threes instead of twos. So if you look at some of those things, you play well against Russell, then you come back and, you play, to me, and this is, again, another positive thing for the Pirates, had a decent start. And we've been talking about how bad of a start we've been getting, and you just kind of just gradually just get beat down and then come back at the end. Well, last night was a switch. We got a decent start. Only lasted about 5 minutes, but it was a better start than what we've been seeing. And the finish was good. Once all their players were out and we had our subs in, they did a pretty good job. But there again, the defense is not really there, in my opinion. The offense, you can't really say it's terrible when you shot 46% from the field and 39%, I think you said, from threes. There's not really a lot of to complain about there. Those numbers are pretty good. But you can't allow the other team to shoot 56-57%. And then really wear you out the free throw line like they did. That was a big discrepancy there. 80% to 40%. Don't know the numbers as far as numbers shot, but 80% is pretty good regardless. And 40% is pretty bad. Just call it what it is. We've got to play better team defense. We can't turn the ball over like we've been doing. We're just going to get – it's just going to get uglier and uglier. People watch the games. They'll go back and see where your weaknesses are, and they're going to turn up the pressure. You know, as you said earlier, we came in off the air. I believe I'd press this a bunch and see if we could turn it over, because right now we're doing that.
Whether it's full court or half court.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think last night we were playing a 1-1-3 or a point drop kind of defense, and they were putting a lot of pressure up top, tried to trap out of that sometimes, and I think it confused us. You know, it wasn't man. They were dropping some people back, and it looked different than what it really was, and I think our kids just aren't used to seeing that. And sometimes that's an adjustment that you have to make on the floor. You know, coaches can tell you what they're playing. The coaches can tell you how they're playing it, but you're not used to seeing the different players dropping here, some different players trapping here. It's just the, you know, how they're playing, what they're playing, and it looked like to me Bath County is a 100% zone team. They played all zone last night. They never went man. They matched up out of their zone. And I think it confused us a little bit on the floor. So those are some things I think you have to do as a player. You have to be able to adjust to what the other team's doing. And I'm not sure we made those adjustments. But again, the numbers weren't terrible as far as offense. We had some really nice moves out of our inside players, Colin Barnes, Chandler Conklin, Jackson Hall made some really nice moves, strong moves. But defensively, we just didn't, we couldn't stop anybody on a drive or, even the shooting, they had some really good open looks, and they didn't shoot as well as we did from threes. But, man, I tell you what, they just wore us out on the inside in the paint.
Yeah, and I think the defense, really, they had so many turnovers where they were getting easy baskets.
Yeah.
And even off of rebounds, all of a sudden they would get a rebound. Yeah. They're making two passes, and they've got a layup.
Yeah, they're dropping two. They were dropping two yesterday. Where Lee County dropped one guy, Bath County was dropping two. And that means three guys are going to the basket. The other two are leaking out. We did a better job containing at least one, but they were dropping two, and it caused a few problems for us. You know, all you got to do then, if you're a two-on-one, you run your two-on-one breaks, and you get a lot of baskets out of it, and they did. And like I said, we did better as far as even getting the guy back. So there were some good things about last night's game, but they're good things as far as looking at a big picture. And when you look at the end result, things aren't going well for the Powell County, for the boys team right now. They got a big, tough matchup coming up Friday.
Yeah. And I think you kind of alluded to it in a sense, just the inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point you can see them, they're coming out and they're attacking, and they have their own pressure defense, and they're doing a nice job distributing the ball offensively. But then you follow that up with a poor performance in all of those areas, and then you ended up losing. And then you come back, and maybe you do that for a little bit halfway through the next game, but then all of a sudden you falter and go back. So there's not that consistency that every possession matters.
Yeah.
And there were too many turnovers. And credit Bath County, you know, they were using the half court. Once you're coming across the line, boom, we got two players on you. Now you're making a poor throw and are not even able to get it over the defender, and they're just getting it and tipping it out and getting a run out.
And I will say this, too. That's a very long team that we were playing last night.
They were definitely were. Probably the longest in many respects.
Yeah, the one kid was probably 6'7", 6'8", and very long arms, long legs. Really caused some havoc inside. We had some players that typically shoot a lot that wouldn't shoot at all and didn't want to get blocked, I guess. But like I said, we found ways to, you know, like Jackson Hall, he just pushed each backed him in and put some strong shots up. We saw, you know, like I said, Colin a couple of times take some strong drives inside. Chandler took some good drives late. Now, early in the game, he was a little – they were taking these high lofted shots over top and not typical shots from those guys. So there are some things that could have been better, but like I said, they at the end of the game, they were making some pretty good decisions as far as – putting my body into the guy. He didn't do well with the body into him. Jackson showed us that last night. So we had some, like I said, there's some pluses, but overall wasn't a good result. Again, we're starting to see these double-digit losses again. What we saw last year, we saw a bunch of the running clock scores. We're not seeing that. So we're not to that point yet, but we're not a lot better either.
Yeah, and I think if anything, the fact that There's so much talent on this team. That's what's mind-boggling in many respects, is that the bench is
potential
deep.
Potential talent. I, yeah. I'm going to change gears a little bit there on talent. I think, yes, they have a lot of potential. I'm not sure that the basketball knowledge is where it needs to be. The quickness is definitely not there. The foot speed is definitely not where it needs to be. But, yes, we've got some size you can't teach. We've got a good mix that, again, we're not going to have again next year. We're not going to have 2 6'5" kids next year. This is one of those years we got two kids that are big kids that are going to be hard to defend. This is the one year you got that, and you're not going to have it next year. So, you know, and I'm not talking just about next year, but where do you go next year? What kind of offense are you going to play? You're going to be in transition at some point this season to where you're going next year. So those are tough questions for Coach Martin and his staff.
Yeah, they definitely are. And ultimately, we've talked about this as well. Each individual has to step up.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of moving parts in a sense as far as the lineups.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of an issue in a sense as far as not being familiar with those players on the court with you at a particular time.
Well, I think it's a good thing now to be seeing this because you're playing a lot of kids right now. And to me, that's a good thing because when you get down to February, and you've got another month, you should be able to pick out your 7 kids that you're going to go to. Maybe my 8 guys. And my other guys have got enough experience. If I need them in a pinch, they can go in and give me some good minutes. So I think it's a good thing as far as the number of players that have been in the games and had an opportunity to be able to do what they can do better or the best thing that they can do. So I think, you know, Allen's got a good mix of where he needs to be come February, and he's going to have the knowledge of which kids are going to be the best for him at different situations. And we'll see where it goes. Again, Friday's a big game because it's a seed game. It's Estill County. It may not happen because of the snow and the weather.
Right, sure.
We'll have to see. But, again, keep it listening here to WSKV. They'll let you know. But, again, that matchup is a boys-girl doubleheader. I believe the boys are first. Is that?
Let me look on here real quick. That's correct. Yes, the boys are first at 6 o'clock start.
So they'll be at 6, and the girls will follow that up about 30 minutes after the first game. So again, you can listen to that game on WSKV 104.9. It'll be the Estill County crew doing the broadcast. And if you want to watch the game, if you can't get out because of the snow or weather, the NFHS app is your way to watch the game. And you can also listen to the Estill County sports crew. That'll bring you that broadcast tomorrow night, or excuse me, Friday night. So you can still listen and watch the games. It'll just not be Ken and I doing it. It'll be the Estill County crew. We'll have the game when they come over here. So, but again, they do a really good job. So, you know, tune in and listen up to the broadcast on Friday night.
I will say this real quick. Estill is 6-6 on the season. They are 2-0 in district play. Lee County at 7-5 overall. And they are 2-1 in district play, having defeated the Pirates earlier. Powell County is 4-8 overall, 1-1 in district play. And Owsley is 3-8, 0-3 in district play.
Yeah, right now the seating is getting kind of set. It's Estill 1, Lee 2, Powell 3, which means if it holds out, it's going to be a Powell-Lee matchup in round 1. And we already know the situation there. We had the good comeback at the end of the game with Lee County, but the middle of the game was really terrible. And so we know what we got to fix. We'll have Lee County look at later on. And Powell County could squeak into that 2 slot with a victory over Lee, a good win over maybe over Estill, and maybe you can get the 1 seed. So season is not over with the seeds and the district play, but you got to play better than what you have been playing, and you got to get the job done again on Wednesday to try to get the – if you want to get that number 1 seed, you got to get a win over Estill on Friday.
Yeah, still plenty of time
with
the season. At this point, though, you're going to have to start making a turn and start showing some improvement consistently across the board in order to make a run.
I think it's a must-win. If you want to try to get a 1 seed, this is a must-win on Friday.
Absolutely. You're exactly right.
So we'll step away for a break, come back, and talk about girls basketball here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a newer used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. We've kind of covered the boys. We do have the, I know they have a game on Friday. I don't think we play on Saturday, or do we?
Who's that?
The boys. They don't play on Saturday, do they?
Let me go back and look real quick. I don't think they play again until next week. Well, Friday, if Friday's game occurs, then I think that will be it. And then the next game, I believe, is the following
Tuesday.
I believe so. Yeah. Let me look real quick. So Powell at Estill on the 7th, and then actually at Jenkins on the 8th. Okay, so they Saturday. Do play Saturday. Yeah.
And they're supposed to get even more snow than we are.
Right.
So if it snows there, who knows? We may not even get that game in.
So then the 11th would be the next game. That's a home game, Jackson County coming to Powell. And then on the 12th, the Pirates are at Wolf County. And then on the 14th, Owsley at Powell. And then the 15th, next Saturday, it would be Powell at Williamsburg.
Okay, so we do have some games to cover. We won't be covering Jenkins. We won't be covering Estill as far as myself and Ken. So our next radio broadcast for the boys, I guess, would be Tuesday with Jackson County, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right.
So and then Wednesday, I'm assuming we probably go Wednesday at Wolf County. I don't remember what our schedule is necessarily. And then, again, you follow that up with the Owsley County game.
On Friday, which is a doubleheader, boys-girls doubleheader. Yep. All right, now we'll do our switch over to the girls and give you their broadcast schedule as well.
So we'd mentioned this the last time we were actually on as far as the girls, where they had traveled to Bath County as well for a tournament. They ended up beating Boone County 67-39, lost to Paris 56-45, and then they defeated Campbellsville 48-40. Last night they had a game at Menifee County, ended up losing that one 64-53. Obviously, you know as well as I do, sometimes you can travel on the road and it's not necessarily friendly confines, you know, where you find yourself, and sometimes things don't necessarily go your way. Apparently that was the case last night.
Well, I mean, you lose by 12. Even if there were some questionable calls, you were still down most of the game. And, you know, I heard there's a lot of offensive fouls called, or a lot of blocking fouls called on us, a lot of charging fouls called on us. So that being the case, if the officials are calling it that way, you got to stop what you're doing. So sometimes it's to the player and the coaches to make sure, okay, guys, we just can't do that. They're calling it this way. you have to kind of know how the guys are calling the game. And once you figure that out, then you can play the game. So, you know, it's always tough to play at Menifee. I don't care how good you are. When you go over there, it just seems like, I'm not saying that you're getting cheated. You're on the road. You shouldn't expect any calls. That's just the way it is. It's not necessarily you're getting hosed. It's just you're on the road. And you're playing in a region where you don't get to rate those officials. You know, we rate our own, which is why some people, you know, Menifee does not come here. You know, I mean, it all comes out in the wash. It all evens itself out. Normally we get better calls here at home than we do on the road. So, that's part of the game, and you kind of have to expect that. And some places it's worse than others. Now, I will say this. It seems like when you go to the 10th region, 11th region, you see some really good officiated ball games. I mean, so if you go into the 13th, the 15th, 16th regions, you sometimes get this.
Yeah, and home cooking in a sense is what people will say. Whether it occurs or not, it still ultimately goes back to you have to show up. You have to make your shots. You have to make your free throws. You have to create turnovers and easy baskets for yourself. So there are things that you have to potentially overcome in order to come away victorious.
And you have to make adjustments on how that game is being called at that particular place.
Sure.
We've talked about it for years. It is so much. It's called so much differently in the 14th than if you go and play a game in the 10th. You know, they'll let you play. The 14th, they'll call every little tic-tac foul going most of the time. Sometimes I'd just rather let them play, and you know, you can't get towards violent or anything like that, but I think you let them play a little bit, and you get the best game sometimes out of that.
Well, and even let's use the boys game as the example. If all of a sudden, if you're getting a lot of fouls called against your opponent and you're getting to the free throw line and you're only making 4 out of every 10 that you're shooting, and those officials are giving you as much as they can, as much as they possibly can, and you don't take advantage of that, that's on you. You know, potentially the officials, whether they called it straight or otherwise, you still have to take advantage of those opportunities with the clock stop, each possession, playing defense, et cetera.
Yeah, and overall, I would say it's about the officials. They do the best they can in most cases. And, again, like I said, if you're out of region, sometimes you get some help. If you're in region, it's more straight up. So that just is what it is. That's just part of the game and basketball. You hate to have it, but it is what it is. I've learned to, my earlier days in coaching, I'd always get mad and fuss at them. And my later years, I don't think I hardly ever fussed at an official, cause it wasn't going to do any good anyway. A lot of times.
Correct.
Honey gets more,
you know, you're exactly right. Sure.
You know, sometimes you're just nice to them and you go on and say, maybe you missed that one. You're just calm about it instead of maybe going off and really ticking them off. And then you get nothing after that. So that just kind of comes with coaching experience or been there a long time, one of the two. I'm not sure which one it is.
And on one hand, if you're interested in being an official, then go to the KHSAA website, because they are in need across the board. Yeah. Pick a sport, it doesn't matter. There's a need for that.
I've talked to a lot of my friends. Please go down and take the test and officiate. We need all we can get.
Especially even the younger people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good money.
Mean, yeah, it is. And at that point, you know, officials are aging in a sense. There's not a lot of young officials that are out
ours
there.
Are.
Right.
14th region. We're getting kind of long in the teeth.
Yes. Yeah. But at this point, you know, again, there's an opportunity for you to go out there. It doesn't matter if it's soccer, basketball, football.
Again,
pick your sport. You know, if you're interested in volleyball, do them all, because there's definitely a need. So let's get back to basketball real quick. So as we mentioned, the girls potentially would be at Estill County on Friday if you know, we somehow manage to miss the snow that's coming. And then on Monday they will have Lee County at home, the girls will, and then they will be at home on Wednesday against Harrison County. And then on Friday, they will be at home against Owsley County. And then they'll follow that up on the 21st, home against Estill. And on the 22nd, home against Knott. So the Lady Pirates are getting ready to be in a stretch, though, of having five home games, I believe. Yeah, five home games coming up over the next couple of weeks, in a sense. Once they get past the Estill game on Friday, the game schedule, at least what we have so far, will be home games.
So it sounds like no PCSN next week, right?
Probably no, we'll
split night.
We'll do what we did before.
Yeah,
we'll,
you at
we'll,
one place, you be at the other.
Yeah, right? we'll start off and we'll do that, and then at that point we'll kind of break away and pick up the game from there. But we'll definitely
you know.
Be doing that,
and
yeah.
We'll let you know what's going on too. So again, a lot of games upcoming for the girls, a lot of games upcoming for the boys. Go ahead and support the teams. Again, they want your support. They need your support. Again, we had a good crowd last night. The X team was in there. It was a pretty good crowd, I think. Anyway. You know, the cheerleaders out there working hard, the band's working hard. So, you know, come out and support your pirates, your cheerleaders, your band, Lady Pirates, whoever. Come out and support Powell County High School. And if you're listening to us from Lee County, Owsley County, Estill County, support your local teams and get out there and do that. So we will, you know, not a lot to talk about the girl. We didn't see the game last night. We didn't see them over
the break.
Yeah. So we don't really have a lot of commentary. We don't really know how they played. I do know they had some really big games out of, I think, Ken and Neal had some really big games over Bath County. I think she had one night, I think she almost made, I think she was like 11 for 12, something like that from field goals. So she had a couple of huge nights, I think, over Bath County. So we've got the potential, I think, in the girls. I really think we can be one of the top teams in the district. Now, our record right now doesn't indicate that we're playing that well, but again, it's still early.
Yeah, and we'll kind of mention the district standing. So Owsley County sitting at 7-6 on the season, 1-1 in district play. Estill County 5-10 overall, 2-0 in district play. Lady Pirates 5-8 overall, 1-0 in district play, and then Lee County 1-7 overall, 0-3 in district play.
If the girls could go to Estill and get a win on Friday, they would be in first place in the district. Again, if Estill County wins, they'll obviously be in first place. They would have defeated everyone. Powell has yet to play Owsley. Looks like right now Lee County is going to get the 4 seed the way it's being gone. So this is a huge game coming up Friday night against Estill for Our Lady Pirates. Again, it's kind of going to dictate who may be that 1-2. I'm not sure you want to play Owsley County at any point in girls basketball, but I think our Powell County girls are good enough depth-wise. They can go in and compete with these two teams. So, like we said, get out and support the Lady Pirates on Friday night. If the game is still played, I think they'll do whatever they need to. Again, if the snow starts in the morning and ends when it's supposed to, I don't see why the main road shouldn't be clear by Friday afternoon, except for the temperatures.
Correct.
Are not supposed to be above 20 all day Friday. So you got to be careful if you're out there, folks. Again, if snow does hit like it is looking like it will.
There's all kinds of projections, that's for sure. Are there even, some of them are even saying possibly 1 inch per hour.
Yeah, we're at the 3 to 6 inch range right now in that forecast. And I think anywhere between 7 a.m., 11 a.m. is the start time. So if you're out tomorrow, please be safe.
And just real quick, too, tomorrow is an NTI day in the Powell County school system. So an NTI day, so no students report to school.
I would safely, I will almost be certain that Friday will be an NTI day as well. That's just me sticking
unless
it out
somehow
there.
This misses us.
You know, we might miss.
You never can tell.
Who knows?
This is Kentucky.
Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. There's nothing like outdoor grilling. Let your Stanton Ace Hardware help you get into grilling, upgrade your grilling experience, or find that epic grilling gift for the grill master in your life. They carry the best. Traeger, Weber, and the Big Green Egg, all available now at your grilling headquarters, Stanton Ace Hardware, 321 East College Avenue in Stanton. Ace, the helpful place.
Appalachian Wireless has a plan to make your life simpler. Forward pay. No contract, no credit check, no problem. Plans start at just $19.99 a month and include unlimited talk and text. Add 3 gigabytes of data for only $29.99 a month. 6 gigabytes of data, $39.99. Or take it to the max with unlimited data plus. Only $89.99, which has 50 gigabytes of high-speed data. All the features without the long-term commitment. It's forward pay. Because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless. Unlimited data plus. Slows to 1 megabyte per second. Past 50 gigabytes of usage.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
All right, we're back here on PCS and Live. Going to do a little bit different here. We're since we don't have a lot of information to give you about how the girls or boys have done, we're going to talk a bit about college football. Again, all the bowl games, Kentucky with a big win in the Citrus Bowl. I tell you what, some of these kids, you talk about the receiver. Oh, it's, my mind went blank when I said it.
Wandale Robinson.
Wandale Robinson came back to Kentucky from Nebraska on the portal, and glad he did. Had a huge game. One of those players that could have decided to play or not play. I'm not sure what his plans are for next year. Hope he stays for another year of college football, but man, did he not make a name for himself in that bowl game in the Citrus Bowl. If he wants to go to the pro route, I think he had the kind of game at that Citrus Bowl where he may have escalated his stock.
His only issue is that he doesn't have the height.
I would agree.
That's his only downfall. Outside of that, he's an outstanding player. If you watch the bowl game there, outstanding, you know, without him, and even Chris Rodriguez, the running back for Kentucky, both of them outstanding players. It would be nice if they actually, those that could come back, would come back just to take Kentucky again. As we talked even early on, I felt like if they were, you know, around that 9-3, 10-2 record or whatever else, to me, that was an outstanding season. They've done that, but now let's see if these guys would come back and get over that hump, you know, to be able to put them in a better position going into next year.
To talk Kentucky football real quick, again, you're losing some big-time linemen.
Yeah.
That's going to be the whole crux of the offense next year for Kentucky. It won't be nearly as good if the line aren't replaced by other linemen that are coming in or that you already have on your team. So they need to hit that transfer portal, get some big-time linemen in here. To replace, and you got a good quarterback coming back. He probably escalated his stock as well. I know he's staying, and the plans for him were, if I can stay and have another good year, I could go first round. So whether he does or not, we'll have to see that play out next year. But man, that's some fun stuff to talk about with UK football. You know, UK basketball, they had a loss last night with LSU, so we're not even going to go there. But the football program is really doing well, and it's just, it's kind of fun to be in the mix. And if they ever get this playoff format worked out to where it's the best top 12, they're going to have some fights on their hand, because you got, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC, you got these power conferences, and then you got these teams like Cincinnati that probably need to be in and are left out for whatever reason. Man, you got a lot to work out with these programs, and then you get to the kids that were, if you're not playing that bowl championship series, then you're opting out of games. You're opting out of your bowl games, where it used to be the top 10 bowl games. Nobody opted out of those games. Everybody played.
Yeah.
Because it could always increase your draft stock. But now they're sitting at those games in lieu of getting injured. I just wish the kids would play. But I get it. And, you know, I get they're talking about, okay, I could lose millions, either bad performance or be injured. I could lose a lot of money by playing. Or you could be like Wandale Robinson, have a great game and really up your stock. So
take out an insurance policy.
And most of these kids do.
And protect yourself. Yeah. And, if you choose to play, then take out that insurance policy to protect yourself in case something happens. That way you end up with your millions or whatever else, you know.
That's the thing I think a lot of the kids are doing these days is taking out those policies to protect themselves. But again, if you go to the playoff series next year, you're probably adding, what, four games to a couple of these teams. That in of itself is going to be a problem because you're really lengthening the length of your season. You're going into January. You're going places with a season that, well, not just January, you're going probably into maybe February if you don't shorten the regular season. So I don't know what gives if they want to expand the playoffs. I think they probably should. We haven't seen real competitive semifinals in the last few years. It's been SEC dominated, and I know people don't want to hear that. Your Clemson was really good for a couple of years, but other than that, it's always been SEC schools there. There's been two of the four have been SEC. And sometimes you can make arguments that maybe three of the four teams need to be SEC teams. It's just, I think SEC is so strong from top to bottom. Kentucky had a great year, but they're probably the fifth best SEC team this year. The four best probably in the West. So it's tough to compete in the SEC. It's a little bit easier to compete in the East.
I think on one hand, whether they went to 8 teams, 12 teams, even 16, going back to the FCS or what used to be, you know, 1AA or EKU, you know.
32 teams for a while, right?
Well, they, yeah, but then they, you know, narrowed it down to 16 teams. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they pull it off and their championship is actually done before Christmas.
Yeah, but now they didn't have this month and a half layoff for the bowl game.
Correct. And I never really, I mean, you're going from week to week in a sense as far as like being able to play. Yeah. But to me, if you take the top 12 or top 16, to me, that's what you should be doing in general. I don't like the four teams or even going back to the two.
And still get it over by when we're finishing this up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And I get that, you know, player injury and more games and all that stuff. But even if that means reducing the number of regular season games that you play in order to set yourself up for that. Again, FCS does it, been doing it for decades at this point. Yeah. And obviously they know what they're doing. I don't know why the big boys, in a sense, don't go down and look at that.
I think it's political. I just think that you can't get the conferences to agree on how many teams you can have. I'm sorry, if you've got the six best teams in the nation and they're all in the SEC, they all six should be in that playoff run.
Agreed.
That's just the way I look at it, but that's not how they're going to look at it because it's about dollars coming back to your conference, and they would never agree to where it could be a dominated format to one conference. I'm not just saying the SEC, but the Big Ten or the ACs, wherever the conference is, it's whoever's the best. That's arguable and debatable. But again, the way it is set up, I wish they would go to some kind of a playoff series to allow more teams in who have a one loss record that maybe didn't get that opportunity, or a two loss record that didn't get your chance to get in.
Right.
But again, I like the keeping the old bowls that we used to have, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, all those bowls that we used to have a long time ago, where they're still around. We probably have too many extra bowls now, but again, you promise these teams that if you win six, you've got a bowl game. You know, that's
that should change.
That should change.
You shouldn't. If I'm a 500 team at the college level, I should not be allowed to make the playoffs.
But if you're a 500 in the SEC, you're probably better than a lot of 8-win schools in the nation.
I would agree with that. Sure.
So and I mean, there's some arguments both ways. But again, that becomes very political and it's a heated discussion when you have those. So,
and they're supposed to be having that discussion coming up on Saturday. Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. So, big game coming up on Monday, Alabama, Georgia. Real quick, who you got?
I don't see how you go against Alabama. They beat Georgia pretty handily. But I have a conspiracy along those lines, thinking that the reason that they ended up allowing Alabama to win because they knew that they would get two SEC teams into the mix. So, therefore, guess what? We can throw a game. Who cares? You get the championship just to get the four teams in, because had Alabama not won, Alabama's out.
I don't go along with the theory, but
pure speculation.
Well, it made it very possible to get the two in that you got in, which is Georgia, Alabama. And to me, the two best teams in college football this season. I'm going to take Georgia. I know they got Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably root for Georgia. Just because Alabama's done it so long.
Way too many times. Nothing but respect.
But man, kudos to Alabama for that program that Saban's built down there. He has done a fantastic job with whoever he has.
It's hard to bet against him.
I tell you, it's a very good college football program. So with that, we'll say this again. Friday night, Powell County versus Estill County, boys and girls, doubleheader. Airtime, 6 o'clock. I would assume it's 6 o'clock, and that will be on the Estill County Sports Network here on WSKV 104.9. You can also watch the game on the NFHS app with the Estill County crew. They'll be broadcasting that game at 6 and 7:30 approximately. Again, and be safe out there, folks.
If not, we'll be on the air Monday.
It will be on the air Monday, and bring the results if we can on Wednesday. But we'll probably be split, so we'll just do our own games. We'll see you sometime here on BCSN Live. Thanks for listening.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Mercy Health, Urban Primary Care, is dedicated to keeping you and your family healthy. We are accepting new patients of all ages. Urban Primary Care offers video visits, e-visits, and in-person services that fit your schedule. We understand illness doesn't come at the most convenient times. That's why we have same-day appointments available. You can feel safe to come to Urban Primary Care. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Call us at 606-723-7771 and be seen at the clinic on Richmond Road. Urban Primary Care is a service of Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guarantee Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guarantee Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guarantee Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank,
Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.